Shanakayar Bhagaval Lokan Rilokam Punar Agataha. The verse says, the great devotee Uddhava soon came back from the abode of the Lord to the human plane. Bhagavan Loka to Nrilokam Punar Agataha. He just took a journey to Goloka and came back. And wiping his eyes, he awakened his reminiscence of the past and spoke to Vidura in a pleasing mood. This is the internal. There was the external. Now this is the internal. Purport. When Uddhava was fully absorbed, this is text 6, 3, 2, 6. When Uddhava was fully absorbed in the transcendental ecstasy of love of God, he actually forgot all about the external world. The pure devotees live constantly in the abode of the Supreme Lord, even in the present body, which apparently belongs to this world. The pure devotee is not exactly on the bodily plane, since he is absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Supreme. When Uddhava wanted to speak to Vidura, he came down from the abode of the Lord, Dwarka, to the material plane of human beings. Even though a pure devotee is present on this mortal planet, he is here in relation to the Lord for engagement in transcendental loving service and not for any material cause. A living entity can live either on the material plane or in the transcendental abode of the Lord in accordance with his existential condition. The conditional changes of the living entity are explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the instructions given to Srila Rupa Goswami by Lord Sri Chaitanya. Quote, the living entities all over the universes are enjoying the effects of their respective fruitive results of their own work, life after life. Out of all of them, some may be influenced by the association of pure devotees and thus get a chance to execute devotional service by attainment of taste. This taste is the seed of devotional service, and one who is fortunate enough to have received such a seed is advised to sow it in the core of his heart. This is still a quote. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Rupa Goswami's receiving teachings. As one cultivates a seed by pouring water to fructify it, the seed of devotional service is sown in the heart of the devotee, may be cultured by pouring water in the form of hearing and chanting of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord. The creeper of devotional service, so nourished, gradually grows. And the devotee, acting as a gardener, goes on pouring the water of constant hearing and chanting. The creeper of devotional service gradually grows so high that it passes through the entire material universe and enters into the spiritual sky, growing still higher and higher until it reaches the planet of Goloka Vrindavan. The devotee gardener is in touch with the abode of the Lord. Even from the material plane, by dint of performing devotional service to the Lord simply by hearing and chanting. As a creeper takes shelter of another stronger tree, similarly, the creeper of devotional service nourished by the devotee takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and thus becomes fixed. When the creeper is fixed, then The fruit of the creeper comes into existence, and the gardener who nourished it is able to enjoy this fruit of love, and his life becomes successful. End of quote. Final sentence of the purport. That Uddhava attained this stage is evident from his dealings. He could simultaneously reach the supreme planet and still appear in the world. The material world is an illusory and perverted reflection of the spiritual world. What we see here in the form of desire and all other emotions, and what we see in the form of activity that's springing from those desires and other forms of emotions, it's all an illusory reflection of the pure spiritual condition of the soul. Because the soul has forgotten or broken their relationship with Krishna, the soul is still active. The soul animates the body. The soul animates the mind. But because of the agency of false ego, consciousness of the soul is misdirected. Consciousness of the soul is directed in illusion to false expectations for material happiness. That the phrase that is used that summarizes all of those things is fruitive activity and sense gratification. But that's like, you know, headings, and all the others are under that those headings. That's material life. Fruitive activity for sense gratification. The transcendentalist has the strong connection with Krishna. We won't go there just yet. We'll go to the impersonalist. Born of frustration. We know this from the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Vitaraga Paya Krodha. An impersonal conception is born of frustration. Out of frustration, oh, this is a miserable place. So one tries to make things zero. Without having an education in the, in who is the real shelter, everything is defined simply in terms of negation. Not this, not this, not this. And it's an actual process, the neti not iti, neti neti process of understanding Brahman. What is Brahman? Well, it's not this microphone stand, it's not that pillar, it's not the floor, it's not this arm, it's not this body, not this personality, not this, not this, not this. So what is Brahman? It's not this. Not having the positive knowledge or education, who is Bhagavan, impersonalism is born of frustration. The detachment or the renunciation of the devotee, on the other hand, is not born of frustration. You know this from the description of Dhritarashtra quits home in the 13th chapter of first canto, when Uddhava, Vidura is advising Dhritarashtra to leave home, there's that nice discussion of three levels of detachment, and one is out of frustration. Another is positive seeking shelter, and the other is the topmost stage of the living being, Narottama. Vidura understood that Dhritarashtra is not ready for the Narottama stage, so he just recommended you just leave home. Detach yourself. But that's without shelter of the personality of Godhead, it's incomplete. Or in the life of a devotee, we have this option of very special fortune of being trained to know who is Krishna, who is the ultimate shelter of all living beings. Then detachment is already accomplished. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartam ekam purushak puranam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari. This is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's description of what Lord Chaitanya brought. He brought this teaching of vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga through devotional service. Automatically, there is knowledge and detachment. Same as in the Bhagavatam, yes? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojata Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahaitukam. Just from Vasudeva Bhakti. Knowledge and detachment. So, that knowledge, transcendental knowledge, means to know who is Krishna. Not just to know the difference between matter and spirit. That's preliminary. But to know who is Krishna, who is the source of matter and spirit, the controller of matter and spirit. And that's our real shelter. So the progressive, as Prabhupada is paraphrasing these teachings to Rupa Goswami, when one has this opportunity to directly contact Krishna by the mercy of a merciful person, mercy of the spiritual master, if we can receive that seed of taste, at least a hankering in our very neophyte stage, some hankering for our loving relation with Krishna, however immature we may be in our devotional practice, a hankering for that real experience, regaining our loving relationship with Krishna, however far away it may seem. It's real and it's attainable. It's something that our merciful acharyas want us to receive. It's attainable, not imaginary. It's not something for somebody else, but it doesn't apply to me because I'm this small and insignificant and fallen person. It's meant for each and every one of us. That's the good news. And when that taste, again, even in the part, even to the stage of hankering or wishing to have that become established, it grows and it grows, and the nurturing is the watering process of hearing and chanting. When in Mayapur, where I just was for almost 3 weeks, every day we went and took our prasadam twice a day, breakfast, lunch. So while passing, we were taking prasadam up on the second floor. And there was a sink where, there are three sinks where the devotees that take prasadam can wash their hand. And I don't know what the drainage arrangement is, but when you're on the first floor, you can see. It's just it has a nice sink and has a nice little hole in the bottom of the sink, and everything just goes down. So you're walking by, it's just going down, and every day, for as many people as there are washing their hands and mouth, it's just like going down. It's hitting like a steel roof. It's the Panchatattva roof, and it goes down. And I was thinking, as I was going by, there must be a lot of green grass down there, except there's no sunlight. But, you know, it's certainly a pile of mud. And if there's anything that's getting any light at all, then it's growing. And that's how the system of irrigation works. You just bring water in, perhaps pump it from the ground and fill the ground with water, and then things will grow, isn't it? It's irrigation. Sometimes they have these big sprayer things. Especially in the West, they have so much mechanization to make water available in a nice way. So, you have water, and things will grow. Like even in a little crack in a sidewalk, or a crack in stone, or in a mountainside, just where some water can gather, and something's going to grow. So, that's some visual examples of the creeper of bhakti. The water that makes the creeper of bhakti grow is hearing and chanting, which is what we're doing right now. We're hearing about Uddhava and his of such deep absorption that when he thinks of Krishna, he's in Goloka Vrindavan. Or the language here is Bhagaval Lokan. He's able to go, he's with Krishna at all times. Such a person is with Krishna at all. They can't be not with Krishna. You may have heard me describe this, but it's appropriate. Prabhupada was visiting Los Angeles, and what he said as follows was definitely true. The devotees would be, wherever Prabhupada was, we were very eager to hear what is Prabhupada doing. So he would be asked. And then the devotees would pass the message and go around the world very quickly. So Prabhupada was in Los Angeles and he said that I know that my disciples are very eager to receive news about me. They will say, Swamiji is now in India, but very soon he'll be going to Japan. And from Japan he'll then go to Australia, and then to Hawaii, and very soon he will come here to Los Angeles. And you'll be talking about so many things that took place in each of those places. And in this way, you're absorbed in thought of your spiritual master. Then he said, but you should know that I'm not in India or Japan or Australia or Hawaii. I am always with Krishna. Same as here. There's Nrilokam, the planets of the human beings, and there's Bhagavan Lokan, where Bhagavan is residing in the spiritual realm. And the devotee is able to be, you can say, in both places, but actually they're in the spiritual realm. Because Vidura wanted to hear from him, he wanted to serve Vidura. But to serve Vidura, there had to be some external consciousness, like, okay, I'm in this place, there is Vidura, I need to speak. But otherwise, he was, you know, I'm not in this world, there's not a Vidura, and I don't need to speak, I'm just with Krishna. Very similar to what you're more familiar with in the 9th chapter of the 1st canto with Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev was doing some service. He was the grandfather, Pitamaha. So he was extending his senses to serve the devotees, to serve the Pandavas, to give instructions, to guide them, to protect them. But at a certain stage, when it was time for him to leave, he withdrew his senses. He amalgamated his senses. It's by yoga process, it's pratyahara. He withdrew his active senses and amalgamated them in the subtle senses, like the tortoise withdrawing his limbs within the shell. His service was over. He gave his Bhagavatam class to Bhishma Dev, Yudhisthira. And then he completely absorbed his thought, not that his thoughts were not upon Krishna, but he exclusively absorbed his thought upon the personality of Godhead. And with his eyes wide open, seeing Krishna standing before him, he had already, by words, appreciated how kind Krishna was, that he came directly to stand before him to please his devotee, so his devotee could see him upon leaving this world. But what was that image that he saw in his mind? Krishna charging at him with his chariot wheel, the broken chariot wheel of Arjuna, right? Not the four-armed Krishna standing before him. Parthasarathi, Chakradhari, he's carrying Arjuna's wheel with his face covered with the dust of the hooves raised by the horses, made ashen in color by the dust, with beads of perspiration coming down his forehead, and his upper garment flying behind him in the wind as he's coming, charging, ready to smash Bhishma Dev with the broken wheel of Arjuna's chariot. And by that intense absorption of remembrance, the same feeling of love, of being in Krishna's presence, that's what we heard yesterday's verse. It's not different. This is a total mystery to the non-devotee. And it's the practical experience of the devotee, bringing one in direct communion or contact or yoga with Krishna through, nurtured by the process of hearing and chanting, advancing to the stage of remembrance. Prahlad Maharaj achieved spiritual perfection by remembrance. He didn't have so much opportunity for hearing and chanting. His environment wasn't at all conducive. But because he had heard from Narada, he was able to be compact in remembrance. In all circumstances, troubling circumstances, just by remembering Krishna, everything was fine. He was perfectly happy. He didn't ask for deliverance from his troubling circumstances because he was already delivered. So such an advanced devotee as Uddhava, to speak about Krishna to Vidura, it wasn't begrudgingly, because it's service. It's service to Krishna. And in this particular service was service to a great devotee of Krishna, so he was very happy to do that. He wasn't begrudging, saying, oh, I've got to leave Krishna Loka to come here and speak to you about Krishna. It's service. Devotees on spiritual plane. They simply want service to Krishna. Ours is regulative. I'll end with this thought. There's a very wonderful morning walk conversation with Srila Prabhupada in Nairobi, where a devotee in the morning walk was asking Srila Prabhupada, how do we know when we're chanting our japa nicely? We're chanting good rounds. And Prabhupada's reply was, you must. He said it several times, you must. And the devotees thought maybe he didn't understand the question. So Brahmananda said it again. How do we know when we're chanting with quality, Srila Prabhupada? And we know we must, but how do we know when we're chanting with quality? And a long explanation where Prabhupada said, when one is chanting with quality, then what's the question of 16 rounds? 16 million rounds. There's no limit because there's such taste, there's such joy, one simply wants to chant. That's quality. There's no you must. So he was saying earlier, you must, because he knows they're not on that platform of quality. Therefore, you must. There's the regulative, and then there's chanting. There is service that we do because we know we have faith, we have conviction that it will purify us, and it's natural for the soul to serve. We're convinced. We have our attachments, but we're convinced. And so we do our regulative devotional service. That hearing and chanting is like, you know, the pouring of the water on the earth that gradually, gradually becomes moist, and then things start to grow. And if the creeper of the seed is received, that there's some potential within that seed of taste for hearing and chanting, then that hearing and chanting carries us further and further and further, like this example to Rupa Goswami. Like a creeper that grows and pierces through the coverings of the universe, through the spiritual sky, takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and clinging to the lotus feet of the Lord, manifests its offering to Krishna, the fruit and flower of love of God. It's a metaphor, but it's more than a metaphor. It's how it happens. We should know, although this bhava bhakti and prema bhakti stage are far away, we should know that our regulative devotional service leads to that, and this is what it looks like. Uddhava is exhibiting it. He's able to move between both realms, the exclusively with Krishna realm, completely oblivious or not attentive to his external circumstance, and move from that to the external circumstance and be in the same consciousness serving Krishna. So next comes, the very next verse as Uddhava begins to speak. The stage is set. Stay tuned for coming attractions. Okay, so any comments or questions? Yes.
Maharaj, Vidura is the Mahajan himself.
Yep.
Then what is the purification that he is undergoing by going to various pilgrimage places, and what is that?
Well, at the beginning of in the first chapter, it was explained. Well, Prabhupada raises the question: when Vidura left the palace, why didn't he just immediately go to Krishna? He's this intimate associate of Krishna. He was feeling that due to this association that I have had with Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana and all these bad personalities, I've become contaminated. I'm not fit to be in the presence of Krishna. Let me purify myself to be in the presence of Krishna. That's how he was thinking. That a Mahajan isn't thinking, I'm a Mahajan, I don't have to do what everybody else does. They're thinking the opposite. I'm most fallen, I need purification. And so he took up that measure. Anything else? Yes? Regarding which?
Assimilation.
Yeah. So that others can hear it. Yeah, please put it like...
Regarding depth of love.
Ah.
And so since you have assimilated so nicely the scriptures that you have described in the Rupi Yatra, the essence that Sir glorified so much and felt so much gratitude for you. So how... Today you have told about hankering. So how this hankering we can develop that our chanting may be improved in some way?
Well, I use these hand gestures, you know, this is where our goal is and we're down here. We recognize we're down here. We hear about this standard that's way up here. So the hankering is to attain that. Honestly, we're way down here, isn't it? We're far from that. So, this word assimilating is used also in the first canto of Bhagavatam with, in relation to Sutta Goswami. Sutta Goswami heard. So the sages, headed by Shaunaka, say, not only you heard, but you have assimilated the message from Shukadeva Goswami. So this assimilation is, it's a receiving act, isn't it? It's like digesting your food. You eat, but, you know, it's receiving the nourishment, the nutrients that are in the food into the system of the body. It's an act of receiving. Assimilating is an act of receiving. So my response to your question is, we will not receive unless we're in a receptive mood. And that receptive mood is hankering. I'll give a practical example, something that is part of my japa every day. Every day. We can take up chanting as something that we do. Or we can take up chanting as something that we receive. Mostly because we're fruitive in our disposition, it's something that we do. But devotion, or this assimilating, is something that we receive. So, taking from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, a very simple statement, but it's what chanting is. First he starts and says what chanting isn't. What chanting isn't is simply making a sound with the tongue and the lips and passing air through the vocal cords and out comes a sound. So that's not chanting. You can make a machine that makes that sound. Or you can train a bird to make that sound. That's not chanting. But when the soul recognizes his precarious position and calls out to Lord Nityananda, oh, Lord Nityananda, you are most merciful. You're the most merciful associate of the most merciful, magnanimous, supreme personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya. Oh, Lord Nityananda, kindly be merciful upon me and deliver the pure holy name. And when that pure holy name touches the heart, with the very same tongue and the very same lips, one calls out Krishna's name. That is chanting. So something precedes before making the sound, and that's receiving. The receiving happens when there's humility and eagerness. I don't want to just make sounds. I want to chant the pure holy name, but to chant the pure holy name, I have to receive the pure holy name. Oh, Lord Nityananda, please be merciful upon this. This eagerness. So that's your question. Chant japa like that, and then your life will become like that in anything that you do. It starts with the transformation of heart. And with that transformation of heart, everything, whatever is inside, comes out. It becomes your life. Receiving the mercy, then serving according to that mercy received. That's chanting and that's service. Before, it's regulative. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. See, I did it. It's not the same. Eagerness to be in one's relationship with Krishna prepares the heart for receiving the mercy that awakens that. So the hearing and chanting becomes very effective when that eagerness is there. What do you think? It's not, the process of bhakti is not passive, it's active. And it's not mechanical, it's devotional. It's with a feeling, with a desire. We're not stone. It's with a desire to be in our relationship with Krishna fully in all circumstances. Hear and chant with that desire. It's powerful. Very effective. Sounds like a commercial. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.